That's a favor that we get from God. And we mentioned that you have common favor, which is the favor God shows to, two types of common favor. The first one is the favor that he shows universally to everyone, to the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine. And so there's a way in which God, no matter who you are, he still shows you his love, still provides and shows us his goodness. It's that goodness that really ought to lead us to repentance. And many of us, when we sing this song about the goodness of God, we say all of our lives, he has been good to us. And that's long before we got saved. We can look back and see his goodness in our lives. That's common favor. And then you have another type of common favor that comes to those who are in covenant with God. So the Jews were in covenant with God. God gave them certain promises and he shows them favor. To us as Christians who are in covenant with God, there are some things that are common that he offers to all of us. The healing that there is in Christ, the closeness, the intimacy with him. All of that is common favor that God shows to us in the kingdom of God. And then last week we talk about special favor, which is the favor that God now shows to different ones of us. It's not necessarily common to everybody else, but he shows it to different ones of us. And so we call that special favor. And we see that special favor, again, running throughout the scripture, going through people like Noah finding favor with God. Last week we spent time talking about Joseph, and we'll pick up talking about Joseph today. Today we want to talk about how we're supposed to function in times of special favor. What can we anticipate? How should we function during those times? So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 7. And we want to pick up at verse 9. Acts 7 verse 9 says, "And the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him." You know, sometimes when we share our testimony, we say, "But God." But in this circumstance, it's like, "But God, you allow him to be stolen into slavery." But God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. So one of the key things in time of favor is for us to actually recognize that we're in a time of favor. Because oftentimes, God's favor is all around us and we don't even realize it. And it's not until down the road when we look back, we can say, "You know what? The hand of God was there. Look at all these opportunities that God gave to me and I didn't even realize it." So it's key for us to be able to realize that we're in a time of favor. And one of the things that is important is for us to be able to realize in the midst of affliction, his favor is oftentimes also there. For Joseph, and his life really reflects this, here he is being sold as a slave into Egypt. And then when you read Genesis 39, it says, God was with him and God showed him favor. Even as a slave, God showed him favor. So he excelled and became the head of all of the slaves. But you are still in a time of affliction. And Joseph, in the midst of being a slave, set his heart to please God, set his heart to walk with God, so much so that when he was tempted, when he was, I'm going to use the word threatened, because I'm sure she threatened him, Potiphar's wife, that is. When he was in that type of circumstance, he actually said in Genesis 39, "How can I do this thing and sin against God?" I mean, he would have had reason in the natural to say, "Well, look like God has abandoned me, because look what has happened to me." But instead, he remained faithful to God, faithful to his commitment to God. He was able to, and I put it here, successfully negotiate and handle hardships. You see, and because of that, Potiphar's wife told a lie on this young man, and he ended up in prison. That by itself is perplexing when you take our Western 21st century way of looking at Christianity and how a little, at least my little basic small way of understanding God. Because I would have thought, if God is with this man, I mean, things are already bad. You're a slave, you've lost your family. I would have thought that, no, if God is with you and God is showing you favor, God is perhaps going to release you. But instead, you know, they have a saying around here, it can get worse, or it could be worse. Instead, things got worse. So how is the Bible saying this man is walking in favor and things get worse? But it did. He ended up now being a prisoner. And it goes on in Genesis 39 to say that even as a prisoner, God was with him and showed him favor in prison. And so what that says to me is that when we're trying to recognize the time of favor, we need to not look at it through our Western 21st century lenses, but to realize that in the midst of whatever affliction we may be going through, if we can keep our hearts and our mind focused upon the Lord, if we can experience his presence in the midst of whatever we are going through, then we are experiencing God's favor. You see, it doesn't mean that the difficulties are going to go away or go away immediately. It doesn't mean that. So we need to get that out of our head when we're talking about God's favor in our lives. Because Joseph was a prisoner now, and he had reasons now to really be angry. I mean, he was angry with his brothers before, but now this woman has come and lied on me. How many of you know, I mean, I'm sure you all know this, that when people tell a lie on you, it actually hurts. I mean, when you know you're innocent, when you know you have taken a stand for the Lord, and here this woman has come and lied on me, and here I am in prison, and with no recourse, no appeal. And the Bible is saying God shows him favor. Because he remained faithful to God and caused him to become the head of all the prisoners. Caused him to become the one who's in charge, so that the jailer no longer concerns himself with how the prisoners are being led. Because God has shown favor to Joseph. And so what I want to encourage us to see is that even in the midst of our affliction, if we can remain faithful to God, if we can keep our hearts in tune with the Lord, if we can release people who may have done us wrong, that God will show us favor in the midst of the hardships that we're going through. And so one of the keys to the time of favor is to set to our hearts saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to walk with the Lord. No matter if it's me alone, no matter if people lie on me, if people steal from me, I'm still going to be faithful to God. And that's part of what God has been saying to us this morning. Amen. That through all of this stuff, if we can keep our hearts focused upon him, if we can keep going after him, he will show us favor in the midst of whatever we are going through. And it's because Joseph was able to do that, that Joseph was able to still be in tune with God, to interpret dreams. To be in tune with God, so that when the cupbearer and the baker had their dream, he could hear from God and tell them the meaning of the dream. He didn't get depressed and downcast. And I'm sure he had his little moments, but he didn't allow that to characterize his time in prison. Instead, he kept walking with the Lord and communing with the Lord and was in a place to interpret their dreams. And when Pharaoh got his dream, Joseph was able to interpret the dreams that Pharaoh got as favor. When you're in a time of favor, put here in terms of recognizing it, the unusual happens sometimes. In the case of Nehemiah, the king asked him, What do you want? And Nehemiah was able to say, well, I need to, can you allow me to go back and help to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? I'm going to read Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Then the king said to me, what would you request? That already tell you it's possible a time of favor. The king is asking me, what do you want? Not, you know, get away from me and get yourself into the right mood. No, he's like, so what do you want? He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Skip down to verse 7. And I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me, because the good hand of my God was on me. So, you can know the unusual about happen when people start to word things in a different way. When the king would say, you know, normally I don't allow my cupbearer to go off to do stuff that really don't pertain directly to the kingdom. But, since you have asked, you can get time off to go. Normally I wouldn't be giving you wood to go and help to rebuild Jerusalem. No. But, a few weeks ago, my wife decided to take a Friday off from work. A regular day off is Thursday, so Thursday and Friday, because as many of you know, she's the only resident pediatrician here in the county, so she's swamped at work. And so we decided we'd go to Branson for, you know, a couple of nights just to relax. So I have a timeshare somewhere down there in Branson. So I decided I'd switch out, you know, a couple of nights for my week that I have so that we could go to Branson. And so I quickly went online and did that. And because it's a short term, they call it a short stay. So once you lock that in, it's locked in. When she came home and I was talking with her, I realized I booked the wrong week, wrong couple of days. It was a week later. Oh my goodness. So now I had to call the folks, and I went through, you know, these companies. And the lady who picked up the phone and I explained to her what happened, she says, she started like this. You know, normally when you book those days, you don't get them back. But this one time, I'm going to give you back those days. And you realize, once you hear the but, you realize I'm in a time of favor. Normally we don't do this, but, you see? And so that's one way for us to recognize when God is about to do something, that the unusual happens. Things that don't normally occur that way occurs so that you and I can go get through and benefit in the way in which God wants us to benefit. In Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was taken as a young man and, you know, the king has his food that he gives to these young men who are being trained. And Daniel would say to the man in charge, is there some other type of food we can get? We don't really want to partake of the king's meat. Can we have a, you know, a vegetarian type meal? And I can imagine the man in charge saying, you know, normally we don't do that. Normally you have to eat the king's food. But for you guys, we're going to do a little testing. Let's, for the next 10 days or so, we're going to see how it works for you guys. And you realize, and the Bible actually says that Daniel found favor with the man who was in charge. And that's one way, again, for you and I to realize when we're about to enter into this time of favor. I put here, when you see answers to your prayers for favor. Nehemiah in chapter 1 had prayed, asking God to show him favor before the king. And now it's before the king, and the king is like, so what do you want? What is your request? And you see in answers to your prayers, or Esther, you know, she was concerned before she got to the king that we don't know what the king is going to do, if he's going to hand out his scepter or not. So go and pray and fast. And when Esther appeared, the king said, what do you want? Come on in. And so he realized she was entering now into a time of favor because of the prayers were being answered. I put here, when you see open doors of opportunity. as we see in the life of Joseph, that even though he's in hardship, opportunity comes his way to become the head slave. Opportunity comes his way to become the head prisoner. You see the opportunity, the door has been opened to you, especially like for Joseph, who was a foreigner. You see the opportunity, the door has been opened, and it's not that you have tried to push it or kick it down, but the door is just open, and you just walk through, and you realize it's a time of favor. God has opened this door and allowed me to walk through it. Another way is when God speaks his rhema word to us. That's what the Lord, that's what the angel said to Mary when he appeared to Mary. He says, "Hail, favored one." So she should know, oh, I'm entering into a time of God's favor. Let's look at Exodus chapter 33. Last week we read about Moses blessing Joseph and others of the sons of Israel. And Moses in Deuteronomy makes mention of the God that he experienced in the burning bush that showed him favor. Here in Exodus 33, we get another glimpse. Exodus 33 and verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, thou didst say to me, bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." So the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "You have found favor in my sight, Moses. I chose you to lead these people. You're there in the wilderness for 40 years doing nothing, and then I suddenly appear to you, and I've chosen you. You have found favor in my sight." Verse 13. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is thy people." And so there you see Moses realizing that he has found favor before the Lord, asking for more favor. Asking for the Lord to teach him his ways so that he can continue to find favor. So those are some of the ways of recognizing that you're in a time of favor. You sense it in your spirit. A word comes. Opportunities open up. In the midst of difficulties, you're still experiencing God's grace. You're still experiencing an elevation. You're becoming the head and not the tail, even though your circumstances are less than what you'd really want it to be. But God is still with you, answering your prayers, and the unusual happens. But in the time of favor, then, how should we operate? How should we function? And I mentioned here, first and foremost, we need to maintain our passion for God and for his kingdom. We shouldn't allow ourselves to get distracted by material stuff. We should always keep our focus on the Lord, just like Joseph did. Keep on seeking after the Lord. Just like when the Lord turned up and saw Noah. Noah had a heart for him, and so it says Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And we said last week that oftentimes favor comes with responsibility. But Noah kept his heart and mind after the Lord. Even though it took him years to build that ark, he was still going and being passionate for the Lord. Same thing with Daniel. All of these men kept on going after the Lord, kept on being passionate for him. I have a scripture here, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, looking for someone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might intervene, that he might show himself strong on their behalf, that he might show them favor. God is looking for our hearts. He's looking for some people who are passionate for him, so that he might show them special favor. And so you and I should never allow ourselves to be distracted from our search and pursuit of the Lord. Going through difficulties, going through trials, going through grief, going through heartache, still going after the Lord, still having him as our one desire. Secondly, do not compromise your faith. Don't allow the possibility of an opportunity to cause you to compromise your faith. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph's like, lady, I don't know what you want, but listen, I'm not going to sin against my God. And as I said earlier, I'm sure she's threatening him, saying, you know what, I'm going to cause scandal on you. And I'm sure Joseph said to himself, no matter what you do, I'm not going to compromise my faith and my commitment to the Lord. And for me, that's admirable, because if you think back to the time in which Joseph is living, no church, no wonderful worship team, nobody preaching, no internet, not even a Bible. He's by himself, experiencing difficulties, sold into slavery. And yet still he has set his heart, I'm not going to compromise my faith. Same thing with the Hebrew boys. We're not going to compromise. When we were looking at the life of Daniel, we were like, the only thing we find is that he's committed to his God. He's not going to bow down and worship any of our idols. He's praying 3 times a day. And so I believe it's important for us, because if we don't have that solid commitment, the enemy will come in and create some circumstances, and you think it's God, but it's not God, because the devil trying to ensnare you. But when you have your heart set, that I'm not going to compromise my walk, no matter what, no matter what you offer me, there's no compromise here. Then it gives God the opportunity to show himself strong on your behalf and on my behalf. Then number 3, I put here, in a time of favor, be bold and ask big. Be bold and ask big. That's what Nehemiah did. The king said, what do you want? And he was bold and asked big. Can you allow me to go back to Jerusalem to help to rebuild the wall? Most of us would be like, he would never do that. That's crazy. Maybe you should ask him to send off some wood to help them over there build it. Why can't they find a leader amongst themselves and build it? That's how many of us reason, rather than being bold and ask big. And when the king said, yeah, you can go for such a time, then Nehemiah went and asked even more. Okay, since you say I can go, we're going to need some lumber to rebuild the wall. He was bold and he asked big. He realized, no, I'm in a time of favor. And he's not asking for himself. He's asking for the purposes of God. He's asking so that Jerusalem can be rebuilt. And so he's confident and he asks big. Many of us, myself included, we tend to be sheepish. I should be glad that he's allowing me to go. Why would I want to ask for more? Well, the worst that can happen is you can say is no. But if you don't ask, what the Bible say? You won't receive. I remember when I was an engineer and they promoted me to become an executive engineer. And they gave me a nice office. And then they asked me, what do you want? What do you need? And you know, they have these nice chairs, but that chair that they had inside there was, my back is long. So I tell them, listen, I need a new chair. Can I get a new chair? Everybody else with them offices have this small chair, the back of the chair has been, halfway through their back. But I decided to be bold and ask big. And guess what? They said, sure. Yeah. You can get a new chair. What else do you want? Because I understand some things about favor in somebody's circumstances. If you wait a year later and ask for the chair, they're like, no, that's not in the budget. Yeah. But in the time of favor, they do all sort of stuff. Because it's a time of favor. So be bold and ask big. When we were seeking to buy this property here, You know, the owners wanted a certain price. And when I get to number four, I'll explain a little bit more about documentation. But we had settled on a price from long before. And the bank had come in, and because we'd done some improvement, the bank says, well, we can lend you, I think, up to like $10,000 less than whatever the owner wanted to sell us for. And we as a church, we only had $5,000, so we were $5,000 short. So we're like, what are we going to do? Well, we were bold, and we went to the owners and says, will you give us an owner loan for a year? And we'll pay you back within a year. We asked him big, and he says, sure. That's how we got it. The owner helped us to buy the property from himself. You see? So I want to encourage us, when you recognize the time of favor, at least before the Lord, at least ask the Lord, Lord, as Nehemiah did, Lord, should I ask for this? And if you feel the release and the peace of the Lord, go ahead and be bold and ask big. Let me give you another example. Because this is very, very key. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verses 35 and 36. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given to the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Picture this. These are slaves. Slaves from they were born. And the Lord says to them, I'm going to cause favor. I'm going to cause the Egyptians to look at you with favor. So you go and ask big. Go and ask them for the gold and the silver. And you can imagine the slave not, gold and silver, are you crazy? Yeah. But because they had heard the Lord, they went in and they asked, they say, sir, that gold cup that you have there, can I get it? And that silver plate. Can I get that too? And that nice dress type thing, that gown that you have, that you go to your special events in. Can I get it? I mean, that take a lot of gall to walk into the Egyptian person's house. I mean, like, the gold articles there and the silver, can we get it? They didn't ask for bronze, you notice it? Nor the wooden stuff. You and I be like, can I get that stool? The one where, you know, one of the legs is sort of weak, I can fix it. No, they were bold and they asked big because with a time of favor. And so the Egyptian was like, oh, you want the cup, the gold cup? Sure, you can have that. And the silver plate? Sure, you can have that. And that wonderful gown that I only wore twice? Sure, you can have it. Because with a time of favor. If they didn't ask, they wouldn't get it. But because they were before the Lord, and the Lord says, ask. And so they asked boldly in the time of favor. And so they got all the gold and the silver and all the fancy clothes. And I can imagine a thought would have come to the Egyptian, like, so where are you going to wear that gown to? You're a slave. What you wanted? And suddenly, I don't feel like asking him any question. He wants a gown? Sure, you can have it. To that time of special favor being shown to Israel. In part, God wanted to recompense them for the times in which they worked and labored and were mistreated. But God, as you know, we said last week that in time of special favor, God has some bigger things in mind, a bigger plan in mind. And some of that gold and some of that silver, God knew they were going to need it for the tabernacle and to do the things, all the stuff that's required for the tabernacle, that they would need it. And so he was giving them the stuff so that they would have it for his purposes. No, they misunderstood all of that. And so when they were in the wilderness and Moses went up into the mountain, they took the gold and made this calf. The gold that was supposed to be used for the kingdom. They don't understand what's going on because they were so self-centered. That happens to so many believers. God give them the opportunity. God give them the breakthrough. And they think it's all just for themselves. And they get sidetracked with all the material stuff rather than realizing, no, God has a greater purpose in mind. But you and I need to get over our sheepish nature. And in the times of favor, be bold and ask big. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, should I ask for this? Should I ask for that? And if you feel the peace of the Lord, then go ahead. Again, the worst that can happen is that they can just say no. So be sensitive to the Spirit and ask for the kingdom of God in mind and keep praying for wisdom and favor. Then number four, I put here, get documentation where possible. One of the things with favor is that it goes along with wisdom. You see? And so Nehemiah didn't just say, can we get the lumber? He says, give me a letter. That's going to take work from the king now to get somebody to write this letter. It's not like today where you can just go on your computer and just write a letter. There's a lot more work back then. But this one is being bold and like, can we get documentation? And because he had documentation, when he went and all these guys are saying, you're against the king, you should know, here's the king's letter. The same thing that happened in the time of Ezra, when the king says you can take back all his articles back to Jerusalem, he got documentation. So that when he was stopped, he had, no, here it is in writing. When we were buying this property, one of the things we did, we had entered into a lease to purchase agreement with the owner. Lease, we would have the first right to purchase. But what we did, these men like Sean and Kenny have a lot of wisdom. We had the owner agree to the price that he was asking for at day one, which I think was $150,000. Agreed to that price before we touch anything. Then we started doing work back here and fixing up this place. And so when it was time to buy and we went to the bank and the bank came in and evaluated, the bank was like, well, we can offer you up to like 80% of whatever the cost is, $140,000. And because we've been spending money fixing it up, we only had another $5,000. But because we had it documented, the owner couldn't come now and say, well, rather than $150,000, what about $200,000? If you don't have it documented, they can do that. Yeah. But in the time of favor, when he well wanted to rent it out and stuff, we were able to get the documentation so it was settled there. So you follow what I'm saying, saints? Yeah. So don't be naive and think that the time of favor will always be there and that, no, things change. The same thing happened when we were buying a property across the street. The guy well wanted to sell it, and he agreed upon a price. And so the agent he was working with texted us the price. And a few weeks later, or perhaps a couple months later, when we were about to purchase the property, he wanted more than what he had said. So we said, no, that's not what he said. So the agent was able to go back to the text and say, no, that's not what he said. The text says it was this. It was documented. And so he had to keep his word. This is not anything new. Nehemiah did that. Ezra did that. Where possible. Sometimes it's not possible. But where possible, get it documented. A couple more things. Oh, help us. In a time of favor, do not manipulate people. Don't try and, you know, emotionally get people to do things. Don't do that. If it's God at work, let God be at work. Joseph didn't try to manipulate anybody in his time of favor. He just sought the Lord and walked with the Lord and allowed the Lord to work upon the hearts of people and to open opportunities for him. You don't need no backdoor deal if it's God who's involved. On the other hand, do not let people manipulate you. You see, sometimes people will offer you a little carrot and they're trying to manipulate you. You and I need to recognize, no, that's not the Lord. I don't need to go through all these hoops and stuff to get this thing, no. So don't allow people to manipulate you. A lot of people end up, doing all sort of unethical things because they think they're trying to get ahead. I have a friend of mine who used to work with a well-known company here. It's based here in the U.S., had branches in Jamaica. And as he moved up in the hierarchy, he discovered that this company had some unethical ways of functioning. And they wanted him now, being in management, to carry out these unethical things. And he looked at them and said, no, I can't do it as a Christian. But we'll pay you so much more. No, thank you. And so he quit and went into his own business. So I put here established boundaries from early. Know where your belief and your faith stands. So that when this lady came and was trying to manipulate Joseph was like, lady, I'm not going to sin against my God, no matter what you say, no matter what you do. If I need to run out of here and leave my shirt behind, I'm running out of here and leaving my shirt behind. I'm not going to allow you to manipulate me and cause me to do that which is displeasing in the eyes of God. So function I put here with integrity. So that even they tell lies, you know you have a clear conscience before the Lord. Peter says we should live in such a way that even though you're going through hardships, they will realize that you still are following the Lord. That's my rewording of it. Wow. There's so much good stuff here. Okay, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. It's a good scripture. It says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Next verse, please, if possible. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. That's one of the scriptures you should underline in your Bible. What you're saying, you have phone. Can you underline in the Bible on your phone? Yeah? Well, underline it in your Bible because I don't know this. I still use the paper stuff. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. The truth of God's word and being kind to people. Two things are tied together. Do not let them leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And when we do that, he says, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Treat people, I put here, with honor and kindness. Be compassionate. Be caring. And still live by the truth of God's word. Don't compromise the truth of God's word. You know, you have some people, they are Christians, but man, they are so mean and stingy. You're like, goodness, have a heart. Well, the writer of Proverbs is saying, be kind to people. Show kindness. And have the truth of God in you. And when you do that, he says, you will find favor with God and with people. They'll look on and say, that's a kind woman, that's a kind man. They're working for you, and like, I couldn't pay the utility bill, and Mr. So-and-so just paid it for me. What a kind man. And then they want to know more about your Christianity, but like, why did you do that? You know what they're saying around here? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's true. So don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. I suspect Joseph treated the people, when he was involved with slavery over them, I suspect he treated them with kindness. Same thing in the prison. He treated them with kindness, so that when he was now next to Pharaoh, he still treated people with kindness. But he did not compromise the truth of God's word. He wasn't doing it as a way of manipulating people. He was doing it because of his commitment to the Lord. The last scripture I'll share today because of time is work on forgiveness issues. Joseph had to do that. He had to forgive his own brothers. He had to forgive Potiphar's wife. So that when he was in a position of authority, he didn't have all his issues trying to deal with. But because he walked with integrity, he could also take up the responsibility without worrying about somebody coming and pointing a finger at him. Without worrying that Potiphar's wife would come down the road and point a finger at him, now that he's next to Pharaoh. I function with integrity. He worked through his issues. Forgiveness, as the book tells you out there, is not always easy. And we can see the life of Joseph. It definitely would not have been easy. I mean, those brothers of his, I mean, when they turn up in Egypt, if he hadn't forgiven them, you could have thrown him in prison. He's the man next to Pharaoh. You could have thrown him in prison and forget about them. And they would have no recourse. But instead, when he sees them, his own heart is broken for them. And he weeps because he longs to be reconnected with them. He had already worked through his issues. And so unforgiveness is one of the things that I believe, friends, that can hinder the favor of God in your life and in my life. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. While Sean gets ready to help us close out, let's look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2. Proverbs 12 verse 2 says, a good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil. That's Proverbs 12 and verse 2. When we seek to, a good man obviously is the one who lives according to God's word, the one who's going after God, and the promise is that such a person will obtain favor from the righteous. I mean, from the Lord, because he's righteous. And then our last scripture is Proverbs 5 and verse 12. Proverbs 5 and verse 12 says, for it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. That's another nice scripture to highlight in your Bible. That the righteous person, the Lord surrounds that person with favor as with a shield. Wherever you turn, you'll see favor. Wherever you look, there's a favor all around you, protecting you, guiding you. Just as we sing that song about the goodness of God, running after you. Why? Because you're walking righteous before the Lord. Because you're seeking to walk in the truth of his word. Because you're seeking to show love to people, love and kindness to people. He surrounds us, surrounds you, surrounds me with favor. Wherever you go, you'll see favor, favor, favor. It doesn't mean that you're not in hardships. There might be hardships, but you and I can choose what we're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on the fact that you're a slave and been sold? Are you going to focus on the fact that you're in prison? Or are you going to focus on the fact that, you know what, in the midst of me being in prison, God has elevated me. I've seen his favor. Look at that. The jailer is showing me favor. All these men are respecting me in the midst of my difficulties. Favor. 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 Because you're seeking to walk as a righteous individual in the sight of the Lord. Let us stand. We'll continue this perhaps next week or sometime in the future, the Lord's willing. One of the things about the life of Joseph it shows is that it's very real. You're going through stuff. And we all go through stuff at different times. And as I said, if you look at it in the Western mindset, you'd be like, oh God, why am I going through this? Why is my life so bad? Why everywhere I turn, things get worse? Or if you look through the lens of the eyes of the Lord, you can see grace. You can see his strength coming to you in the midst of the difficulties. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, his grace is made perfect in my weakness. I'm still standing. I'm still worshiping the Lord. I'm still breathing. I'm still giving glory to God. And if you're living right here in Missouri, you could even go further and say, I'm still living in a house. I still have food. I'm still walking around. Glory to God. Let us bow our heads. I'm going to ask for two people just to come up here and to utter a general prayer for those who are going through some difficulties. For those who are grieving, those who are struggling, I'm going to ask a couple of people just to come up and pray. A general prayer for such folks. We don't want to take their struggles lightly. We want to stand with each other. But we also want to affirm that it's only God who can really strengthen us. And so we look and continue to look to the Lord. So can I get two persons just to come up for you quickly? And as these folks pray, if you're one of those going through a time of trial, a time of testing, a time of grief, a time of health challenges, whatever it might be, just receive the prayer and receive the grace of God, receive the favor of God in whatever you're going through.
Lord Jesus, I thank you that you sit above the circle of the earth and nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, I thank you that you created this world to be yours and to have fellowship with us. I thank you that you want to give us favor. I thank you that's your heart. I pray, Lord, that we would find favor in your eyes. Father, I pray you would release this strength into us to live our lives that will attract your favor, Lord, that we would be people that have thankfulness in our heart, no matter what the situation, Lord, that we would know that you're bigger than it all and that you take time sometimes, Lord, that we would be patient, Father, in our suffering or in whatever is happening. Father, I ask you to strengthen us, Lord, to do it your way. And I just bless us, Lord. I bless this congregation, Father, with the strength to follow God and to love him in the middle of the difficulties and to choose righteousness and to choose to keep our eyes focused on you. And I just bless us with favor before God in Jesus' name.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come before you. Lord, you see our hearts. You see our minds. You know every aspect, every intimate thing that is going on within us. You know the struggles we have. Father, we come to you humbly. We ask right now, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would remind us of what your word says, that all we need is to agree with your word, to find the freedom, to find the favor that your word promises. As we know, Lord, that you are righteous. You are holy. You are above all things, all the things of this world and all the struggles in our struggles, our desires. You know all these things. And it's only through you that we can find the freedom and the purpose. Lord, help us to align ourselves with you, with your desires for our hearts, for our lives, and for those around us. Remind us, Father, daily that we are here to serve you humbly and with love, reaching out to those around us because they are children of God just as we are. Father, so many leave this world without knowing you. Father, it burdens my heart knowing that they leave this world without knowing you and knowing your Son. We ask, Father, that you would remind us daily to put a smile on our face and open our eyes to those that you put before us, so we could see with your eyes, with your heart, those that are struggling around us. And by doing so, Father, we not only step out in faith, we also fulfill the purpose for why we are here. Father, if the opportunity arises that we would share the good news with those that don't know you, Father, I pray for a blessing upon every person here, that you would lift their hearts, that you would encourage them this very day. And Lord, open their eyes to see the blessings that you have already poured out upon them. Let them recognize the favor that they already have and come before you and ask boldly for what they need. For we are your children. We love you and we thank you for all that you do. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Let's just sing this song as Sean is playing.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, heart pound, when you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Oh, fill us, Lord.
With our heads bowed, is there anyone in this house that need to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? If that's you, just raise your hand. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves, just raise your hand. A couple of other things as we close. If you need prayer for healing, for direction, whatever you might need prayer for, we'll invite you to come on up front after we're finished, and there'll be folks up here to pray with you. And then I'm going to say a prayer of final prayer, and then make one little announcement after the final prayer. So Father, again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you're a God of love. Lord, we thank you, God, your mercies are new to us every single day. Lord, we thank you that you are that type of God. That, Father, you're patient and you're kind with us, and your kindness ought to lead us back to you, back to repentance. Lord, that your favor, Lord, ought to result in us being drawn closer to you, ought to result in us declaring even more boldly how good and how great you are. So help us even this week of thanksgiving, mighty God, as the opportunities come, to explain to people the reason why we can give thanks because of your intervention in our lives and our circumstances. Lord, watch over us. Protect us from harm and from danger, we pray. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, and amen.